For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It's June the 4th, and in Derech Hashem, we're up to Chelek Dalek Perek Shishi. And now we get into the specifics. It's the title is Pratei Seder Hayom V'Tefillah. We're going to get into the specifics of davening, of the various parts of davening, and getting up in the morning, things like that. Now, we talked more specifically already about Shema and Shemona Esrei. But here, we're going to get into many more of the details that comprise the whole thing. The Ramchal writes that the way Hashem set up the world is that at night, you have an increase and an expansion of the Koach HaTumah. The Koach HaTumah of the world becomes stronger at night. During the day, you have a decrease and a limitation of the Koach HaTumah. This is learned from the Psukim. We say, the Gemara actually says it from the Pasuk in Parchi Nafshi, which is the Yom for Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara in Bava Metzia makes this point. The Pasuk says, Tashas Choshech Vihi Loila, it'll be night and darkness, Bo Sirmos Kol Chai Sayar. So then in the night, during the darkness, that's when the wild animals roam. It's not only referring to animals, it's also referring to whatever forces are out there. It says, HaKfiri Mshagi Mataref, you have the lions, Luvakesh Me'el Achlam. Then it says, Tizrach HaShemesh, the sun will rise, Yeyasefun, those forces are gathered in. Ve'almo no sam yirbatsun. And they're going to rest in their lair. Then Yetze Adam Lefa'alo V'Labodosa Adayarav. Then man can go out to do his work until evening. So the way Hashem set it up is that at night there's an expansion of the Koach HaTumah, and during the day there's a diminishing of the Koach HaTumah. Says the Ramchal, that is also why Hashem set it up that naturally human beings will go into their homes at night and remain there until daytime. We live in a time that has completely changed the way human beings operate. The advent of electricity has completely altered the scheme of things, where it used to be that people arranged their schedules, their days, based on sunrise and sunset. And even though, especially in the wintertime, you have a very long night, you didn't necessarily sleep the entire night, nevertheless, you were definitely indoors. It was rare to be out at night in any big capacity. It wasn't feasible. It was impractical to be out at night. You could visit a neighbor. People can go perhaps in a group, but it was very difficult. Dark. You don't know what's out there. Stay indoors. Daytime. You're up. You're around. Says Ramchal, that's the way Hashem set it up, because at night, naturally, there's an expansion of the Koach HaTumah. During the day, there's a diminishing of the Koach HaTumah. This expansion of the Koach HaTumah at night is particularly from the beginning of the night until Chatzos, until midway through the night. Once you get to Chatzos, then already the daytime begins, meaning it doesn't actually start, but it begins to approach daytime. And therefore, the Koach HaTumah is strongest from the beginning of the night until Chatzos. From Chatzos and on, there is a slow removal of that Koach HaTumah until you get to the daytime, and then you're at its lowest point is during the day. And this is why you have things called Tikkun Chatzos. You have different things that have to do with the middle of the night, because that's when the Koach HaTumah is at its peak, and then it begins to go down. The Ramchal explains that really, as we know, we learned before, Koach HaTumah expands when people do Averos, and Koach HaTumah contracts when people do Mitzvos. That's the way Hashem set it up. This is true both day and night. But the way it's set up is that the nighttime is a window into what the Koach HaTumah looks like when there's a lot of Averos in the world. The daytime is a window into what the Koach HaTumah looks like when people do a lot of mitzvos. So, although the primary factor that affects Koach HaTumah is people's choices, doing Averos, Chas V'Shalom, or doing mitzvos, the nighttime is a window into it, shows you what it means to have an expanded Koach HaTumah. The daytime is what it shows you what it means to have a contracted Koach HaTumah. Now, we already learned before that at night, when we go to sleep, then our neshama, which is made up of many parts, most of those parts, or many of those parts, go up to Shamayim while we are sleeping. Not the entire neshama, otherwise a person would be dead. But a chelek of the neshama goes up to Shamayim when a person sleeps. We talked about how that has to do with chalomos, with dreams, and how one could, in theory, hit on something which is reality, hit on something which really has to do with the future at night, because the neshama is given more of a free rein at night because it moves upstairs and it kind of floats around a little bit. It's able to come in contact with things it couldn't come in contact with when a person is awake. But as a consequence, because of the fact that our neshamas are partially departed from us when we're sleeping, like the Gemara says, that sleep is 1/60th of death. So because that is so, we also happen to be weaker in terms of our own ruchnias. Because when we're asleep, part of our neshama isn't with us. And since our neshama is our ruchnias, so our ruchnias is diminished when we're asleep. So if you do the math, if you're asleep at night, you have two strikes against you. It is a time where there's an expansion of the Koach HaTumah, and you yourself are less in a lower state of ruchnias because part of your nesham has gone up to Shamayim. Therefore, the Koach HaTumah has the power at night when a person is asleep to actually infect a person. That is why when we go to sleep, first of all, we say Kriya Shema Lamita, because night is a dangerous time. We don't have to talk about dangers in terms of physical dangers. It's a spiritually dangerous time. But moreover, that is why when you wake up in the morning, your hands have Ruach Ra on them. This is where the Ruach Ra comes from. The Ruach Ra on your hands, which is why you wash Negelwasser, is a combination of sleeping at night. The sleep makes a person more vulnerable to the Koach HaTumah because part of his neshama isn't with him. And the nighttime is when the Koach HaTumah is the strongest. Therefore, it infects the person and puts a tumah on the hands. Now, the Ramchal says, why doesn't the tumah go to the rest of the body? And that he doesn't explain. He just says, that was the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it only goes on the hands. That's as far as it gets. It doesn't go further than that. Therefore, the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning is we wash our hands to remove the Koach HaTumah. And in doing that, we therefore bring ourselves back to a level of Tara. See, at night, because our neshama has left us and because it is night, so we have lost a certain degree of our tara, of our ruchnias. So in the morning, this system in the morning is meant to bring us back to a level of tara. And the first step is to wash our hands to remove that ruach ra, and then we can begin from there. So this is why the mitzvah min hamuvchar, the best situation would be to keep a basin at your bed. And then when you get up in the morning, before you walk dalet amos, you wash your hands. There is an opinion that holds that if you're sleeping under a roof in a house, then the entire house is like dalet amos for this purpose, and it would be okay to walk to wash your hands, which is why most people don't have a basin, and they walk to the bathroom and wash their hands in the bathroom, which is acceptable. But the those who are midaktikim will have a basin near their beds so that immediately when they get up, before they walk around, they wash their hands. Now, he doesn't talk about saying moda'ani. Saying moda'ani is a good thing. You can say moda'ani before you wash your hands, because moda'ani does not include any name of Hashem, and it's not a pasuk. It's just a statement, Hashem, I admit to you that you gave me back my neshama. So it's a statement that I recognize my place in this world. But the first thing that we do is wash our hands to get rid of the ruach ra. Now, he doesn't discuss the details about washing one's hands in the morning, but let's talk about that a little bit. The Gemara says there are various types of ruach ra. Ruach ra doesn't only happen when we go to sleep at night. I'm sorry, let me backtrack one moment. This is why if you sleep during the day, or if you're up all night, it isn't clear whether or not you have ruach ra on your hands. It's a debate. Because is it the nighttime? Is it the sleeping? Or is it a combination? We know if you sleep at night, you get ruach ra. But if you're up all night, or you sleep during the day, it's a little bit unclear. So we do wash our hands because the ruach ra is a sakana, and therefore we wash our hands. However, it is a debate whether one has to or not, if they sleep during the day or they're up all night. The Gemara says that although there are many types of ruach ra can come from getting a haircut, cutting your nails, going into a graveyard. Ruach ra comes in many different ways. But this ruach ra is the most difficult to get rid of. This is the one that is most, tenacious, is this ruach ra, Gemara says. Therefore, this ruach ra can only be removed with washing three times on each hand. And that's why we wash three times. Generally, we do it alternating, but it could be done three in a row, in order to get rid of the ruach ra from our hands. If one would dip their hands into a basin of water, you couldn't just dip your hands three times. Because as soon as you put your hands in the basin of water, that water is now contaminated, and it wouldn't help to dip your hands there again. You have to get fresh water for the second and for the third time. You could dip your hands three times in a moving body of water, let's say in a river. That would be fine. But, or in a mikveh. A mikveh, you could dip your hands, that would also work. But in a regular basin of water, it would not work. You'd have to wash three times. The water that is used to get rid of ruach ra is considered contaminated water. The Gemara says you should get rid of that water. Now, we have drains that go to sewage, and that's what we do. We pour the water down there. They didn't have that. So the Gemara says you should not use that water and feed it to your animals. You should not use that water for washing or bathing. That water should be disposed of. And that's what we should do as well. The water that one uses for washing negovasser should be disposed of. Until a person washes negovasser, the hands have this tumah, this kalach tumah on them. And this kalach tumah is a sakana. Because it's a sakana, there are two things one should not do until they wash their hands. One, which is really the primary one, because this is the one that most people would do if we didn't have the halacha, is one should not touch any orifice of the body. If one would touch an orifice of the body, one runs the risk of the tumah actually getting inside the body, which would be a great danger. Therefore, one should not touch any orifice of the body. One should not rub their eyes, even though you're closing your eyes when you rub them, so you're not actually touching inside still. One should not rub their eyes. One should not put their fingers in their ears or in their mouths, or using the bathroom. It would be better to wash prior to the bathroom. One really has to go to the bathroom badly, one can do so, but one should be careful not to touch any orifice until washing their hands. That's one thing one should not do until they wash their hands. I realize none of you are in this stage, but I want to mention it to you anyway, because it is a very common issue that comes up
Bez Hashem, when you have small children, it's a big deal when women nurse their babies and they are waking up from sleep to nurse their babies, and the mothers want to go back to sleep afterwards. So to go and wash your hands and feed the baby, you know, all they want to do is nurse the baby and go back to sleep. Nobody wants to get up and make a whole, you don't want to have to deal with this. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to go back to sleep, you do not need to wash your hands. As long as you're going back to sleep, you don't need to wash your hands. It's a little tricky if you're going to go to the bathroom and then go back to sleep, because as I said, you shouldn't touch orifices of your body until you wash your hands. That's a little bit tricky, and there it might be beneficial to wash your hands so you don't have that issue. But if a woman is waking up to nurse her baby and then going back to sleep, then she does not need to wash her hands. However, she should not touch the mouth of the baby. She should not touch the eyes of the baby. You know, she should just maneuver the head of the baby to nurse the baby, and that's fine. But mother should not touch, just like she shouldn't touch her own orifices, she should not touch the orifices of the baby either if she has not washed her hands. The other thing that a person should not do until they wash their hands is handle food. If we handle food, I'm talking about directly. I'm not talking about in a container. You can pour a bowl of cereal for your younger sibling or for your child before you wash your hands. But one should not touch the food with their own hands until they wash negelwasser. Now the question comes up, what about small children? Small children, they may not be ready to wash their hands. They may be hungry. They want to eat. So some people are makbid with small children to wash their hands at a very young age. Some do it at infancy. But that is not the halacha. The halacha is that a child that is beneath the age of chinuch, there is no ruach ra on their hands. And therefore there is no need to wash their hands. And chinuch is 6 years old, 7 years old. Lower than that age, it is not required to wash a child's hands. Now, a lot of people have the minhag that once a child is old enough to be eating their own food by hand, they wash their hands. Okay, it's a nice minhag to do, but one should not get all bent out of shape in the event that a child who's 3 or 4 years old handles food. Oh no, they touched the food and they didn't wash their hands. It's okay. The halacha is that there is no ruach ra on their hands, and therefore it does not affect the food. However, if an adult handles food without washing their hands, then it is questionable whether that food should be eaten. So one should be careful not to handle food until you wash your hands in the morning from the ruach ra. Any questions on that? Okay, so that is negelwasser. That's negelwasser. And that's the first thing we do. Ramchal says an unbelievable thing. I want to read it to you. He writes, the whole world is diminished at night. Not just us, that we've gone to sleep, but the whole world, because of the diminishing of the increase of the Kalach HaTumah. Therefore, the morning, not only do we need to rid ourselves of the Tumah that has infected us at night, but the whole world needs to rid itself of that Tumah. Says the Ramchal, when you wash your hands, v'nimsa kol gufo shel ha'adam nitar bazeh. The whole body of a person becomes tar through the washing of the hands. Just like the whole body was considered tamei because of the ruach ra on one's hands, there was a tumah that was considered to be on the whole body. When you wash your hands in the morning, you're not just ridding yourself of the koach hatumah, you're actually helping to rid the world of the koach hatumah that has infected it at night. Litar mitumas halayla v'lotzeis mechesh chasa, to remove itself from its darkness from the koach hatumah. Okay, now I want to. There's two other things to do here. Okay, let me take it in this order, and we'll do the next thing. The next thing is going to be something which none of you do, but we're going to talk about it anyway, and I'll tell you why we're going to talk about it, and that's going to be tzitzis and tefillin. We're going to discuss it because it's worth it for you to know what's going on, but before we do that, let's discuss one other point, which he doesn't mention directly, but I've talked to you about this, I believe, before, and I want to show you how what he's saying affects this whole point. And that is that
that the nighttime, as he mentions, is naturally a time of an expansion of tumah. The daytime is naturally a time of contraction of tumah. Pesach night, we do mitzvahs that are normally daytime mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs that have a specific time to be done are daytime mitzvahs, unless they actually have to do with the night. Obviously, Kriya Shema Shel Aravis is going to be done at night, because that's what it is. It's Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv. But most mitzvahs are daytime mitzvahs. If they're limited to a particular time, they are daytime mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs. But Pesach night, we have mitzvahs that are specifically done then. Hallel is said at night. You say it in the Seder. Hallel is always said during the day. Pesach night, it's said at night. We have the mitzvah of eating matzah, the mitzvah of eating the Karban Pesach, the mitzvah of eating Marar, the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. All those mitzvahs are at night. Some learn that's what it means. Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. This night is weird. It's different. It's a night of mitzvahs, which usually you don't have. The Pasuk says that the night of Pesach is a leil shimurim. It's a night of protection. Now, what does it mean, it's a leil of protection? So, it doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen. Unfortunately, bad things have happened on the night of Pesach. But if you look at Rashi, he tells you, it's a leil hashamur uba min hamazikin. Whatever mazikin are, demons, whatever it is, the koach of tumah that's out there, the night of Pesach is diminished from that koach of tumah. That's why you don't have to say Kriya Shema Lamita, you say Shema and that's it, but you don't say everything else, because the night of Pesach doesn't need it. Because the night of Pesach, it's not that nothing bad will ever happen. It's because the night of Pesach is not a nighttime. It's a daytime. The night of Pesach is a Laila Shehu Yom. It's a night that is day. That's why you have mitzvahs on the night of Pesach. That's Manishtana HaLaila HaZeh. That's why you don't need Kriya Shema Lamita. That's why you don't need to lock your door. Because the night of Pesach, even though you look outside and it's dark outside, the Koach HaTumah does not have Shlita on the night of Pesach. Therefore, the night of Pesach has a din like day. When it says nothing bad will happen, it means nothing bad will happen because it's nighttime. Unfortunately, bad things happen during the day too. But the nighttime is more dangerous. The night of Pesach is not dangerous. It is the same as day. Whatever you would do during the day, you can do the night of Pesach with complete confidence that nothing bad will happen because it's nighttime. That's really why we open the door for Shvo Chamascha. We're not letting in Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi is not in his physical form on the night of Pesach. Therefore, he doesn't need a door. He can just come in through whatever means he comes in. But the reason we open the door is to show our emunah that we know it's a leil shimurim and we're not afraid of the night on the night of Pesach. That's why we open the door for Shvo Chamascha. This is also why the halacha is, even though not everybody does this, but it's considered, it shouldn't say the halacha, it's appropriate, that you're not supposed to go to sleep the night of Pesach. You're supposed to talk about, even after the Seder is over, you're supposed to be involved in Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the halachas of Pesach, ad shechatfaso shina, until sleep grabs you. Why? Because it's the daytime. You don't go lie down and go to sleep during the day. What are you doing? You don't get in pajamas and go to bed. That's a nighttime thing. But the night of Pesach is at nighttime. It's daytime. So you treat it like it's a daytime, but you're tired. So you fall asleep, just like during the day. When you're tired, you fall asleep. You're exhausted. You doze off on the couch. That's what the night of Pesach is. It's a night that's a Laila Shehu Yom. So the Koach HaTumah that should have taken over on the night of Pesach doesn't happen. The daytime of Erev Pesach continues into the night and then continues into the day. So you end up with a 36-hour period of Koach HaTara without the expansion of Koach HaTumah. Zelu Mazeh, the same day of the week that Pesach falls out, is also the same day as Tisha B'Av. At Bash Aleph, first day of Pesach, is always the day of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a Yom Shehu Laila. The Koach HaTuma that expands at night on Tisha B'Av does not contract. It remains in force. That is why Tisha B'Av is a dangerous day, even during the day. It's like it's nighttime. Even though it's light outside, it's like it's nighttime. And we treat it like it's nighttime. We are worried on Tisha B'Av as if it's nighttime, because it has the Koach HaTuma of the night. That's why in the morning of Tisha B'Av, there are certain davenings we don't say till the afternoon, till mincha time. Men do not put on talis and tefillin until mincha time, because it's not really shacharis. I mean, we have to daven shacharis because it's technically the morning, but it has a din of Laila, even though it's already daytime. It's based on what he's saying over here, but that is the way an understanding into Leil Pesach, and on the other hand, Yom Tisha B'Av. Any questions? Now, as he writes, that because we're trying to rid the world of the Koach HaTuma and rid ourselves of the Koach HaTuma, therefore there are things that are done in the morning that are not done the rest of the day. They're specifically the morning. So, Nego Maser is one. For men, Talis and Tefillin are done for davening in the morning. Now, let me touch on for a moment Talis and Tefillin. Why don't women wear Talis and Tefillin? Why not? So you'll say, well, it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And women are pturos from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So just like you don't have to sit in the sukkah, you don't have to pick up a lulav, you also do not need to wear talis and tefillin. But the halacha is a woman is not allowed to wear talis and tefillin. So why is it that a woman does not wear talis and tefillin? I think we've touched on this before. But anybody know why a woman does not wear talis and tefillin? Does anybody know and is willing to say? So the reason why a woman does not wear talis and tefillin is because it's a different reason for each one. The reason why a woman doesn't wear talis, doesn't wear tzitzis, is because even a man is not chayev in tzitzis. If we wouldn't put on a four-cornered garment, men would not have to wear tzitzis either. The halacha is tzitzis is only worn if you're wearing a dalet kanfas. So if you put on dalet kanfas, if a man puts on dalet kanfas, he is then mechuyev to put tzitzis in the corners. So today, the way we dress, and it's been this way for hundreds of years, the way we dress, really for over 1,000 years, we don't wear dalet kanfas. So therefore, there's no chiyuv of tzitzis. So then why do we put on dalet kanfas? So we do it in order to make ourselves chayiv in tzitzis. That's why we do it. So the Mefarshim say, if a woman would put on tzitzis, it's mechzi ki yuara. It looks like gaiva. Because it's one thing to say, I'm not obligated to do the mitzvah, like let's say sukkah. I want to do the mitzvah. I have a sukkah here. My husband, my boys, my brothers, they built a sukkah. They need to sit there. I want the mitzvah also. So I'll go sit in the sukkah. Matov manoim. But to go and do a mitzvah that even men aren't chayev to do, that men are just doing it in order to try to get the mitzvah in, because otherwise we won't have the mitzvah at all. So that looks like yuhara. It looks like gaiva for a woman to go put on talis and tzitzis. Talis kut and talis kutlo. And we see today, the women who are doing it are definitely bali gaiva. That's why they're doing it. Because they can't stand that there's something that they're not allowed to do. It's purely from pride where it's coming from. So that's why talis and tzitzis are not worn by women. What about tefillin? So tefillin is a bigger reason. And tefillin would be a terrible thing for a woman to put on tefillin. And the reason for that is this. Really, tefillin is supposed to be worn all day by men. That's the chiyuv, to wear tefillin all day. Why don't men wear tefillin all day? Anybody know? Who's willing to say?
Isn't it like you're only supposed to have certain thoughts when you're wearing tefillin? So nowadays we're not on that level to have
right.
Certain thoughts.
So in order to wear tefillin, a person is mechuyev to have pure thoughts only. And a person is not allowed to be masiach das, to forget that they're wearing tefillin while they're wearing the tefillin. That's why men who are chayiv to wear tefillin only wear tefillin during davening at shacharis. Because the hope is that at least for the hour or so that you're davening, you can keep your mind where it should be, and you can remember that you're wearing tefillin. But if we wear it all day, all men, most men, would get many averos for not having pure thoughts while wearing the tefillin and forgetting that they have it on. Really, we would say men shouldn't wear tefillin at all because of the danger of having the wrong thoughts while wearing the tefillin and the danger of forgetting that they're wearing them. But men have to. We have no choice. The Torah says a man has to do it. So therefore, we do it, but we do it for a limited time only so that we can get the mitzvah and that's it. So for a woman to put on tefillin is a tremendous chutzpah. Because even men, if we could get out of it, we wouldn't do it. Chas v'sham, it's a beautiful mitzvah. It's a wonderful mitzvah. It's a powerful mitzvah. But it's scary. Because unfortunately, there are really heavy, heavy requirements when you're wearing tefillin. So for a woman to have the chutzpah to put it on, can you imagine if a woman says, I'm going to put it on anyway. And then while she's wearing it, she has the wrong thoughts. She forgets she's wearing it. She doesn't keep her body clean. Do you know what kind of a punishment that would be for her? For such a thing? She shouldn't have put them on in the first place. So she has the chutzpah to put it on, then she doesn't do it right? It's a terrible, terrible avera. A huge einish would be for such a woman doing that. That's the reason why women do not wear tefillin. It's an usur for a woman to put on tefillin. Now, nevertheless, men are mechuyev to put on tefillin, and if a man is wearing dalet kanfes, he's mechuyev to put in tzitzis into the dalet kanfes. So we do it specifically in the morning. It could have been done later. We could have said, well, we got to put on tefillin, and we got to do it sometime during the day, so we'll do it mincha time. But we specifically do it in the morning. Why? Because it's part of the process of ridding ourselves and the world of the koach hatumah. So therefore, men put on tzitzis specifically then. Now it's considered to be a mitzvah min hamuvchar for a man to wear tzitzis all day long. So we wear a talis katan on our clothing as well. But that is an extra. The talis gadol is worn during davening. You know, the halacha is that a man can wear his talis katan into the bathroom. Because it's no kedusha. It's a heftza shal mitzvah. It's not a davar shebe kedusha. A davar shebe kedusha is something that has klaf in it. Davar shebe kedusha is a sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah. Those are davar shebe kedusha. A heftza shal mitzvah doesn't have kedusha. There's no kedusha to a shofar. There's no kedusha to a lulav. There's no kedusha to a pair of tzitzis. It's just a chetza shal mitzvah. Therefore, it can be worn in the bathroom. But a talis is not worn in the bathroom. And the reason is because since it's designated for davening, it's inappropriate to take something that is designated specifically for davening and bring it into the bathroom. So there's the talis is worn during davening in order to give kedusha to clothing, which is part of ridding ourselves in the world of the koach hatumah. The tefillin is worn in the morning as well for the same reason, and as the Ramchal writes, the tefillin is kadosh harbe. It's much more kadosh than the talis, and it does much more than the talis in ridding ourselves and the world of the koach hatumah that the night has infected us all with. That is why a person has to have careful thoughts. They have to keep their bodies clean while they are wearing tefillin. They have to remember they're wearing tefillin. Not allowed to be masiach das. It has a huge kedusha. The tefillin have a huge kedusha. The pasuk says, "V'ra'u chalam ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha." That the nations of the world will see the name of Hashem is called upon you. They'll be afraid of you. The Gemara says, "Tanya of Lezar Gadol Omer elu tefillin shebarosh." That's referring to the head tefillin. They'll see that and they'll be afraid of you. A person who wears tefillin with the proper kedusha, it creates a fear in the nations of the world. to do anything to him. There is a story told, although I never know whether these stories are true or not, but there is a story that is told about the Vilna Gaon. He wore tefillin all day. He was still in a madriga to do that. And there was apparently that he was captured or taken by the non-Jewish authorities, brought before a judge or whatever it is. And allegedly, the Vilna Gaon, when he was brought before the judge, he took his talis, which he was wearing, and pulled it back to expose the tefillin sheberosh. And the judge became fearful and let him go. Scared him. Let him go. There is such a story that's told. I don't know, you know, all the details, and I'm sure I don't have all the details correctly. But the point is that a person who's wearing their tefillin properly, which the Vilna Gaon did, it can generate this, what this pasuk is saying. Yaru mimecha, they'll be afraid of you. Today, as I mentioned, we're not on that madrega, and we're really just trying to do it properly for the half an hour or an hour that we're wearing it, and then we take them off because we're really afraid that we're not going to do it correctly. Chas v'shalom. The tefillin are very, very powerful, but there are days that we don't wear tefillin. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. We don't wear tefillin on Yontif. Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif? So the Gemara says, because tefillin are called an os. They're called an os. And Shabbos and Yontif are called an os. And therefore, there's no need for the tefillin when one is in Shabbos and Yontif. But listen to what the Ramchal writes. And this is one of the main points I wanted you to hear about this thing with talis and tefillin. The Ramchal writes, we really have to put on tefillin every day. Chutz mimei hakodesh, shem atzma os liyisrael, because they're also an os. It's an os. Now, he wrote earlier that what the talis does is great, but it's much less than what the tefillin do. The tefillin does much more than what the talis does. Says the Ramchal. Even after we do our own hishtadlus of getting rid of the tumah by putting on our tefillin, ein malas ha'itur hamusag bo, the greatness that is achieved through wearing tefillin is not as great kemalas ha'itur hanimshach me'elav v'mei hakodesh. It's not as great as the natural greatness that comes from Shabbos and Yontif. Elapachos mimenu harbe. As great as tefillin is, says the Ramchal, it's much less than Shabbos and Yontif. So this should give us an insight into Shabbos and Yontif. If the tefillin is much greater than talis, which it is, and the tefillin is so powerful that we're even afraid to wear it, because all the kedusha you have to have when you're wearing tefillin, and therefore we do it, but we do it carefully, and we do it in a limited fashion. But we don't do it on Shabbos and Yontif, because Shabbos and Yontif already does what the tefillin do. But says Ramchal, it's not just they do what the tefillin do; they do what the tefillin do on a much larger scale. It's an unbelievable thing to appreciate what Shabbos and Yontif are all about. And there, you don't have a chiyuv to only think kadosh thoughts, even though, of course, we should all the time. But Shabbos and Yontif, the power of Shabbos and Yontif is unbelievable, from what the Ramchal is saying over here. Now, even though women do not wear talis and tefillin, but you need to know what the power of these things are, and that their purpose in the morning is to help rid the world of the kayach hatumah that's there at night. You have to know this. Because, first of all, you have to know what's happening. What is the Torah saying over here? It doesn't matter whether you're doing the mitzvah or not doing the mitzvah, you've got to understand what's going on. But you also have to know, because you're going to be in positions where you're, right now you already have people in your lives who have to wear talis and tefillin, but you're going to be much more involved with that when you have husbands and sons who are wearing talis and tefillin. Now, Talis and Tefillin make life complicated. They make life complicated. You know, we travel. So we travel in the summertime, go visit relatives. So we travel. So our preferred method of travel is leaving about 3 in the morning and driving for a few hours, stopping, stop, shacharis, breakfast, and then go on. That's typically how we do it. Well, if there's no talis and tefillin wearer when you stop, you can get things done pretty quickly. It's a pretty simple thing to, you know, everybody go use the restroom, everybody wash, daven, eat, let's go. Talis and tefillin makes it complicated. Got to find a place to put on talis and tefillin. You got to get them on, you got to get off. Usually we travel in the summertime. We did the same thing when we were traveling for Chaimir Mischasana earlier this year, and we just planned on doing the same thing. It only occurred to me when we stopped at the rest stop that it's much different in January than it is in July and August. And it was freezing cold. I was outside under at a picnic table putting on towels and tefillin, right? So I was wearing my winter coat over. I was like, you know. So it's like, it makes life complicated. It makes life complicated. Dabbing in an airport. I do it all the time. Whenever I travel, I often dive in an airport. Talis and tefillin makes it much more difficult. You know, it's much more obvious. It's hard to dive it on a plane. It's much easier to dive it on a plane without talis and tefillin. It's just a complicated thing. So it's important for you to know the power of talis and tefillin when a man does it. And therefore, to understand what it is that you're enabling when you are making it possible for the men in your life to daven with talis and tefillin, what it is that you're doing for them and for the world, for yourself, what's going on. Men who need to get to work in a timely manner, also, especially in Atlanta, where in the middle of the winter, nights can be really, really late, it's really problematic because davening is not something you can just do around the edges. If you know, you can't just take a few minutes out of work and go daven. You got to put on your talis and tefillin. So if you got to put on talis and tefillin and you need to be at work at 7:30 in the morning and Nates is at 8 o'clock, you can only first put on talis and tefillin at chves 7:10, 7:15. You got to drive to work. What are you supposed to do? It gets really complicated. It's not easy. So you got to appreciate that the talis and tefillin is powerful. And we need to do whatever is possible to enable people who need to wear them to wear them. But it can be complicated. And it will, it's going to affect you, because since the men in your lives have to be able to schedule themselves with talis and tefillin, it will affect you as well. So you have to, it's important that you're aware of what is going on with talis and tefillin and the power of it, especially the tefillin, the power of what it's all about. Okay, this is the first half of this parak, of parak Shishi, and Mirz Hashem, next time we'll do the second half, which will deal with a few more of the, you know, davening itself, of brachos, psukei dezimra, etc. That'll be coming up, Mirz Hashem, the rest of the parak.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.